Hello, and thanks for tuning in to What's My Tagline? I'm your host, Carol Flagg. On this show, we put the microphone in front of a variety of industry experts to talk about healthcare marketing, branding, messaging, social media, PR, and more. You can follow me on Twitter at Carol Flagg and learn more about the show on the program page on healthcarenowradio.com. Be sure to follow the station on Twitter as well at HC Now Radio and stream us live 24/7 by asking Siri or Alexa to play Healthcare Now Radio. My guest today is Ross Kimborowski, founder and CEO at CrowdSpring, a design company where more than 220,000 experienced freelancers help agencies, small businesses, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits with high-quality custom logo design, web design, graphic design, product design, and company naming services. He joins me to talk about website design for healthcare organizations and the impact of COVID on messaging. We wind up talking about what's trending in website design today. Hello, Russ. Welcome to What's My Tagline. How are you today?
Thanks so much for having me, Carol. I'm doing great and happy to be talking to you.
Yeah. Ross, where are you calling in from?
I am in the suburbs of Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah. And you know, obviously, I hope you and your family and colleagues are all safe and healthy from COVID.
We are. I have three kids, two are still in school. So they're all obviously anxious about the start of the new year. But we're staying put and taking all the safety measures we can.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Well, before we actually have our little dialogue about website design, which I'm very excited to be talking to you about, my first question of all my guests is, if you had to describe yourself as a tagline, what would it be?
So it's a fun question, ultimately, I don't think I would. I would limit myself to a tagline. It's an interesting question because a lot of brands have taglines.
Sure.
And of course, personal brands, you can have a personal brand, you can have a tagline too. And one of the challenges, one of the frictions for me has always been what a personal brand means. And for me, it's always been about credibility. Are you trustworthy? Are you credible? It's actually, you know, the main theme for healthcare and healthcare businesses. And we're going to talk in a bit about healthcare websites. And so it's always hard for me for a personal brand to limit it to a single statement, because it tends to exclude a lot of other statements. People generally aren't that simple. And most people are not trying to sell something. Businesses are trying to sell some things, which is why slogans and taglines make so much sense for them. But most people are not. And so I think it's a fun question. I don't know that I would have one. Not something I've thought hard about, but I don't know that I'd have a personal tagline.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, just because you do website design, you know, this idea of having, you know, obviously a lot of websites do have taglines, right? And some don't. So I imagine that this perhaps is even a conversation that you and your team have with the corporations that you work with.
It does. I mean, businesses, if you think about, you know, every business has a brand identity, and your brand identity is the visible elements of your brand. So it's your logo, it's your name, it's the overall design, your website, the colors you use, and the marketing materials. And ultimately, whether or not you intend to create a brand identity, every business has one. So the businesses that are intentional about it, who think about it, who create a strategy about it, who think about a tagline, for example, and how to describe their business, take control of their brands and ultimately can build generally a much stronger brand than a business that ignores all of those things. Because if your colors are all over the place, if what you're doing on social, your voice, the colors that you use, is not connected at all to what you're doing on your website, isn't connected at all to what happens when a person walks into your healthcare business, there's a cognitive dissonance for people. People just are confused about what your business is and what it stands for, and it tarnishes the brand. And at the end of the day, and this is one of the most important things that every business owner, every marketer has to remember, whether it's the healthcare industry or if you're selling candy in a candy store, your brand image isn't what you say it is. It's what people think it is. So you can do a lot of things to create a brand identity and try to create a brand image, but how people perceive your business is what's most important. And that's where things like good, effective, well-structured website design and overall brand identity really becomes important.
Yeah, yeah. I love that motto. I won't call that a tagline, but at least I'll call that a motto or certainly some sage advice. So before we actually talk a little bit more about that and this idea of, you know, cultivating trust and credibility in the healthcare space from a website design standpoint. Tell us a little bit about your background and your journey and how you started CrowdSpring.
Sure. So I started practicing law in 95 when the internet was first commercialized. And
way back when.
And so I was a trial attorney and among other things, I've always been technologically savvy. And so I led a number of groups in my law firm. And one of the things we tried to do in around 2005 was redesign our website. So like most businesses, we went through this, you know, typical process. We created a request for proposals. We interviewed a bunch of freelancers and agencies, and we picked the one we thought was the best one and paid them a lot of money to create this new website for my law firm. It's a mid-sized law firm in Chicago. And they came back and I was very unhappy with the work. And really in frustration went home trying to figure out, you know, why was there so much friction in hiring service providers, particularly in the creative industries? Because if you think about it, when we go shop for things, if we need to buy a healthcare device, for example, we can walk into a store, we can compare two or three different devices, and we can buy the one that we think works best for us. And if we shop for non-healthcare items, a jacket, I could try on four different jackets, I pick the one I like the best. But that's not what happens with website design. It's not what happens with logo design. You have to hire somebody and then wait for some period of time for them to create something for you. And then you either like it or you don't. And if you don't like it, tough luck, because you still owe them the money that you owe them. So that ultimately led me to start thinking about a different way to create this relationship between companies and freelancers and designers. And so in 2006, I started working on CrowdSpring, and we launched in 2008. So we've been at it for 12 years. CrowdSpring helps entrepreneurs, businesses, agencies, and nonprofits with everything from logo design to graphic design, web design, product design, and business naming for every stage of their growing business. So our clients range from Fortune 100 to the smallest, you know, entrepreneurs running their own businesses from over 100 different countries, most in the US. And the premise was, great design doesn't have to cost thousands or tens of thousands of dollars. Our projects start at a few hundred dollars. And here was the difference. This is what we realized. Rather than looking at bids and proposals and creating requests for proposals, on CrowdSpring, the process is reversed. So if you need a new website design, instead of people telling you how much it'll cost, you explain what you need and they'll create the actual designs for you. So you're working with multiple website designers at the same time, iterating through these designs. You set your budget and the one that you pick as your favorite gets paid. So it's a model that did two things. It created a much more respectable and useful process for business owners, because now they had control over whether they actually like the process at the end. We have 100% money back guarantee, so there's no risk to the businesses. It democratized the ability for freelancers anywhere. So it didn't have to be a designer working in New York. It could be somebody working in Arizona or South Dakota or Florida. It doesn't matter. Or Malaysia or Africa. The point is, if their design was great and you loved it, that's all that mattered. Not where they were, not what their schooling was, not what software they used. They needed to have, you know, obviously the basic elements and really talent. And that's where we are today. So 100 country clients from 100 countries, a community of designers that's over 220,000, and prices that are 10 to 100 times less than what you would otherwise pay working with freelancers or small agencies.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fascinating model, and you know, I had a chance to explore the website as well, and so I think in this, you know, the age of, you know, maybe not like what I would call WordPress DIY kind of mentality, but there is some of that obviously out there. You know, this idea that, you know, I as a person or as a business owner who's perhaps, I think, and I've been in this position myself, perhaps struggle to understand or communicate what it is that does speak to me, but I know it when I see it. Right? You know, it's like, I may, you know, you may ask me as a designer, I might fill out a form and I might in my head think, well, this is what I think my potential customer or client might resonate with them, but perhaps I have a hard time saying that or outlining that to a, you know, perhaps to a traditional website designer, you know, sort of like, you know, what you went through in 1995.
And that's the beauty of the model in that, you know, most of us have pretty decent aesthetic taste. We know when we see it that we like it. That's how we buy our clothes. That's how Sure. we buy our cars. And our tastes are very different. So your taste may be different from mine. And if we had to build a healthcare website, your healthcare website might look different from mine. But the difference is that, you know, neither one of us could sit down and design it ourselves and build it ourselves. Unless you have some design and development skills, right? But
if nor we could, would we want to.
Nor would we want to. That's not the best use of our time. Right, and that's exactly. The challenge for most business owners, you know, that are sure. building healthcare sites, that are running healthcare businesses. But when you work with multiple designers and you're able to see different concepts and give them feedback and iterate on those concepts, and then you're looking at, you know, 10, 15, 20 different designs for your business. And that's the beauty of it. It's unique designs for your business. You can generally pick the one that you love. And that's how we buy houses. It's how we buy cars. And so now you can buy and design that way. You can buy logos. You can buy websites, marketing materials, everything related to design on CrowdSpring.
Yeah. So let's talk specifically about healthcare websites, since obviously this is what our listeners are most interested in. And, you know, there's, you know, a lot going on right now, obviously, with the pandemic. And certainly I've seen... as a media company and a company with sponsors, I've seen certainly, I think the last year or so, but especially the last 3 or 4 months, obviously companies are pivoting and, you know, launching redesigns at some level, right? And, you know, in healthcare, I think with a website, especially these websites that have perhaps patient logins and patient portals, but the idea, of course, is perhaps a new patient or a soon to be patient comes to a website, or, you know, whether it's a hospital or a physician base, and this idea of they want to feel immediate, what you term trust and credibility, that a healthcare website needs to create trust and credibility. How is that accomplished?
Well, I mean, look, we all know health is a very personal matter, and the person looking for a healthcare provider, whether it's a doctor or a new service or a company from whom they're going to buy medication, is concerned about their health or concerned about the health of a loved one. And they ultimately know whether today it's not a life or death decision, that this relationship they're building with their doctor, with the healthcare company, ultimately can become a life or death decision later. And so it's a vulnerable patient. It's a vulnerable potential person, potential prospective client, who is trying to figure out what is the most trustworthy, most credible, most competent healthcare company or doctor or service that I can connect with. And ultimately, this is where your website plays an incredible role, because today very few people make decisions without going online and going sure. to your website. And it's okay to be in directories, but you have no control over the information in a directory. They can give you a place to put a couple of sentences about yourself, and people might do some reviews, but everything else in that directory is controlled by somebody else. So 75% of the people judge the credibility of business solely based on its website. I mean, and that statistic has remained pretty consistent throughout. So that means 3 out of every 4 people that are looking to create a relationship with a healthcare company or a service are looking at your website and making a decision whether they want to call you or email you or schedule an appointment strictly based on how good your website looks. And in the healthcare industry, that number is even higher, because the stakes are so much higher. You know, mm-hmm. personal stakes can't get any higher than the healthcare that you get. So let's talk about some ways that healthcare businesses can do better with their healthcare websites, because I think there are definitely some common themes that we've seen throughout. And you're right, this is a great time to to rebrand and focus on redesigning, in part because our culture has changed over the last year in very significant ways. And you know, nobody can deny that health and healthcare has become far, far more newsworthy and important. We're living through a pandemic. We've got lots of conversations about healthcare and the cost of healthcare and credibility and what medications do and do not work. And all of that creates a lot of frustration and obviously in most patients, a lot of friction when they look at healthcare sites. So let me start with one that is one of the most important. One of the tips to focus on your healthcare site is make it patient-centric. And at the end of the day, this is the difference between successful sites and not. Successful websites in the healthcare space focus on the patient as opposed to on themselves. And this is where there's a big gap. There are many sites we've seen that tend to focus on themselves. And this is a common challenge for not just healthcare industries, but across businesses of all kinds. When you get to a website and the business is just talking about themselves, it doesn't help a person understand how are they going to benefit from a relationship with this business. And you could see this whether you're buying a computer or you're buying a gift basket for somebody or some kind of a service. So it's not just limited to the healthcare industry. There are sites, when you get to that site, who do a really nice job articulating how they're going to help you, why you're important, and what are the things they have and the things they can do to help you. And we resonate naturally with those sites. First of all, because the reason we went to that site in the first place, and particularly the healthcare space, is to try to answer the question, can this person, can this business, can this service help me? And if you start out by answering that question with a patient-centric focus, then you've already done a much better job than the vast majority of the sites out there.
And I think that's a really, really great point because there was obviously this conversation going on in healthcare the last couple of years, especially, the retailization of healthcare and the consumer, the consumerism feeling about healthcare. You know, patients today, they've sort of changed perhaps what their priorities are when they are picking a physician or a hospital to visit. And it may not have been what it was a couple of years ago or 5 years ago, or certainly 10 years ago. Right. And I would say one of those things is the smartphone, right? How your website looks on a smartphone.
Very important. So at the end of the day, it's important for multiple reasons. One, and probably one of the most important, is because a huge percentage of your prospective clients are going to be viewing your website on a smartphone or on a tablet. Whether it's the first time they view your website or it's the second or third time. For some businesses, 70-80% of their potential visitors or customers are looking at their business websites on their phone. And how your website looks on your phone is typically very different than how it looks on a desktop computer or a laptop computer. And sometimes the differences are stark. If you haven't redesigned your website in the last 3 to 4 years, then it's more likely that your website isn't responsive. And what do I mean by that? It means that when the display size gets smaller, like a phone, things don't adjust to that smaller display size. It still tries to display on a small device the site as if you're looking at it on a big monitor. And you can imagine none of that looks good. Things are not readable. Things are out of place. You have to side scroll to see things. And so it's important to be able to create today responsive websites or mobile enhanced websites so that people looking at a mobile device can easily see what you intended them to see and can be comfortable and trust you. Because if your site looks terrible on a mobile phone, but that's the way 50% of your customers are accessing your site, you are right away losing 50% of your customers. But there's a second reason. And the second reason is that, like everywhere else, healthcare businesses need to need people to find them. So you can spend money on marketing, you can spend money on advertising, but at the end of the day, almost every business relies on organic search to supplement the money that they would otherwise spend. The only way that your website is going to rank and your business is going to rank high in organic search is if it's credible and if it has, if it looks good at mobile. And the reason for that is because search engines like Google are optimizing search to mobile. So when they go to look at your website, they actually look at the mobile version of your website, not the desktop version of your website. And so if they look at the mobile version of your website and it's terrible, you might be frustrated and not understand why is it that you can't get to the to page one for Google search results? Why are you stuck on page 10? The simple answer may be because your mobile site isn't optimized. And so while your desktop site is beautiful and great and may deserve a spot on page one, Google doesn't care about it and doesn't know about it. And so every business should look at their mobile website because that's how search engines today, and this is increasingly so with every search engine, but for most businesses, Google is going to be the most dominant one because that has the largest volume of search. So two reasons. One is most people interact with the mobile site. And the second is for search engine placement, for organic search, really important.
And I would think on that mobile site side of the coin, I would, you know, the first thing that loads then becomes really important.
Absolutely. So on a desktop, you have a lot of space. So you have things that you can show on a mobile phone, very small screen. And so you can imagine if the first thing on your website is a big version of your logo and that's all a person sees,
you've done
nothing to communicate the value of how you can help them. And that's where optimizing, and our designers know this. I mean, we have designers from all over the world and we work with clients from all over the world, including in the healthcare space. And they know that when you're creating today, and you know, for the past decade really, when you're creating designs, these designs need to be optimized for different size screens. Because if you look at the distribution of the people who are accessing your business website, they're going to be accessing on small mobile phones, large mobile phones, tablets, laptops, desktops, lots of different screen sizes. And your size needs to work reasonably well across all those sizes.
Yeah, I don't know if these designers still today use the term, you know, above the fold, but you know, that's probably old school. But that above the fold is something completely different on a large screen monitor on my computer versus my phone or my Apple tablet.
Absolutely, and above the fold is still a relevant term. So for people that have never heard it. It means what do you see on your screen when the site initially loads? So it's without scrolling, what do you see? And on a desktop, if you're looking at a 30-inch monitor, you could see a lot. If you're looking at a 15-inch monitor, you see a lot less. And on a mobile phone, you don't see very much. And so it's still important in that that's the first thing a person sees. So you have to intentionally direct the design to respond to what you want them to take away on a mobile phone. It's going to be something different than on a desktop. But people do scroll today. So above the fold has become less important as long as you do a decent enough job hooking the visitor and giving them a reason to scroll down.
Right. So we've already, obviously, we're in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, which there's no let up in sight, obviously. We're six or seven months in, depending on where you start your ticker on the pandemic. How has COVID-19 impacted perhaps redesigns, I think, quite a bit, but maybe even website design right out of the gate, basically.
So there are a couple of impacts. They're not all positive. First of all, one of the challenges in the healthcare space in particular is there are a ton of sites, you know, hundreds of thousands of sites that have tried to take advantage of the pandemic and create, you know, quick sites to run advertising. And so there's all sorts of misinformation about COVID and pandemics and medications. And as a result, Google and other search engines have taken steps to try to de-emphasize some of this. So it becomes harder for legitimate businesses that have legitimate practices, legitimate medications, legitimate services in this space to rank high because generally search engines distrust the vast majority of businesses that talk about COVID. not because every business has done a bad job talking about it, but because there are just a lot of troublemakers trying to make a quick buck. And so, so one of the challenges has been to try to, when you have to talk about COVID, to create a trustworthy way to talk about it. So not to, because Google has a pretty decent ability today. And when I say Google, I refer to other search engines too, but again, predominantly it's Google for most people, and certainly in the US. Google has an ability to understand what your website is about and what it says. The algorithms for search have gotten much more sophisticated, and they do what's called natural language processing. And while it's not the same thing as a person reading your website and understanding it, it's coming closer and closer. So they could tell the difference between a site that's just trying to make a quick buck talking about COVID and pandemics and hydroxychloroquine, and a medical healthcare site that is legitimately in that industry, that has legitimately been in that industry for a while talking about that topic. But one way to avoid some of the challenges as you're redesigning your site is to take a look at your copy, because the language spoken in the healthcare industry is complex. And so when a doctor is talking to another doctor, they may have a conversation that most people wouldn't necessarily understand. The problem is that when websites talk to people, and by talk to people, I mean the copy that's on those websites, you need to take that language and simplify it, because prospective patients, prospective clients need to be able to understand it. So if you want your website accessible, it has to be written in layman's terms. And in that sense, it has to be avoid some of the jargon and the reasons some of these other sites have gotten into trouble. So the simple question to ask yourself when you look at your website is, will the average person understand what you've written? Okay. Is there baffling industry terminology that's going to create some friction for people that are reading your site? And when you're talking about topics related to the pandemic, which is one of the things that people should be concerned about, are you overdoing it? Is there too much information? There's this natural inclination to overshare because people obviously are interested. But again, this puts you into this box of companies that have tried to make a quick buck. And do you lose organic search placement because Google feels like you're overdoing it?
Right. You're speaking again to this idea of, like, when you're looking at your website design, you know, it has to resonate with the patient first, right? That patient centricity that you talked about at the start of our conversation.
Absolutely. I mean, that's going to be most important, because the patient wants some comfort that your focus is on them, whether they're reading page one of your website or page two of your website. And so all of this is focused on giving them that degree of comfort, and hopefully that resonates with them. And when they come to your service, whether it's a physician's practice or when they buy products from you, that experience continues, that it doesn't change, that the focus is always on them.
On them, right? So Ross, is there a next big thing in website design? And if so, how will that impact the healthcare industry?
So there are always trends, and we sure. we cover trends in website design and graphics design. We have a top 30 worldwide marketing blog at crowdspring.com/blog. So trends in 2020, I'll mention a few trends we're seeing in 2020. And part of the challenge with trends is they're not universal in the sense that not every industry should embrace them. Some of these trends end up being fads. Some of these trends are just not appropriate. Like, I'll give you one example. One of the biggest trends in the consumer space, and in the business-to-business space too, is dark mode. And dark mode is really simple. It's just turning your screen black and having white text over a black background, which is the opposite of what historically has been done. So, you know, people have no doubt heard about dark mode on their mobile phones and in some of the apps they use. And there, it's interesting because in the healthcare space, dark mode is not necessarily a particularly good trend. First of all, it's not a comfortable trend. If you're sitting in a dark room with white lettering, that doesn't calm you down. That doesn't create comfort. And that's why you're not going to see a lot of healthcare businesses with a black primary color in their brand. In the non-healthcare space, it's a fun trend. I'm not exactly sure why, because the reality is that it's harder to read white text on a black background.
It sounds sounds sinister to me, yeah. You know, dark mode. You know?
but this is what people love. And ultimately, this is at the end of the day, what works. Another trend that we're seeing, for example, in 2020 is random shapes. So you're going to see a lot of websites. You're going to see, you know, brand identities, so logos that have these random shapes on their websites. And, you know, part of the challenge when you have a business created and focused on trust, as every healthcare business is, when you include elements that are really difficult to understand, like random shapes, it's going to be tough for people to appreciate what you're trying to do. So it may work for a business that's trying to sell a business software product, but it doesn't necessarily work for a business like a healthcare website. I'll give you one trend that is really useful, and I would like to see more healthcare sites use it. Custom illustrations is a great trend that we haven't seen much of. And here's the thing. Almost every healthcare website takes stock photography, takes a photo of a bunch of patients or doctors or nurses, and that's what they put on their website. And that makes every website look identical. And even if you try to create some original photography, which is much better than stock, it's still going to look identical. We're seeing a few healthcare sites, and I hope to see more and more, use custom illustrations to create those friendlier brands. Part of that is driven by the fact that people are seeing custom illustrations on other sites. And so this is a natural trend that works really well. The other part that works for healthcare really well is that custom illustrations create the ability to illustrate some concepts, particularly in the healthcare space, that might not be as easy to explain in a couple of paragraphs. People are visual, so we don't spend 20 minutes reading a website. We spend a minute, maybe 30 seconds, maybe 2 minutes. And so if you can shortcut that education process and use a few illustrations to talk about some of the concepts, you've saved that person a lot of time and you've communicated far more than everybody else. And so our designers have been helping clients with lots of custom illustrations for websites because it's hot, people are interested, and because it solves this problem of how do you communicate with some illustration, a concept that may be much more difficult to communicate without. And some of these are animated. So you have some animation to the illustrations, which add a little bit of a difference, a little bit of flavor, a little bit of fun, and also draws attention.
Yeah, I love that idea. I mean, you have begun to see that. I agree, but I also see more often than not the iStock look, right, with a group of, and everything's white and blue, and just because those are sort of colors that are sort of synonymous with healthcare, right? And so I love that trend. That is really good to know.
One other trend that has always been important, but it's increasingly important, and I think more businesses are becoming conscious about it, is tightening the integration between your website and whatever you do on social media. Now, this is a hit and miss for a lot of healthcare businesses because not all of them are active on social networks, and for good reason. Not every healthcare business should be active on social networks. And those that are should ask, are my potential customers, are the people that I hope to ultimately recruit as patients or sell my products to on these social networks? And when the answer is yes, and for many healthcare businesses, the answer is yes, their clients are there, the people that ultimately they're going to sell to are there. When they pick these networks, they should take the extra step of customizing the way that they look on these networks. So every one of these networks gives you a way to upload the main image people would see in your profile. They should, be careful about the copy they include in describing what their business is. And when they post content, whether it's on Twitter or on Facebook or on Instagram, whatever social network or networks you choose, there has to be some consistency between the content you're posting and the imagery that you're posting and your brand. Because if it looks like you're just randomly sharing stuff that's not connected to your brand, you're creating this dissonance. So people interact with your brand in one way, then they get to your website and it looks completely different. It's unrecognizable to them. So you haven't done anything to create loyalty or trust. So spend the time to tighten that integration between those two. And visual design goes a long way to helping you do that.
Yeah. Ross, those are two great trends. I love them both, and might have to employ some of them ourselves on our own website. So thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a great conversation.
Happy to talk to you. This is an important area. The healthcare businesses are more and more important every day as we're fighting through this pandemic. And so, this is a great time for them to really stand out and gain a lot of trust over their competitors.
Right. You be safe up in Chicago.
Thank you. You as well.
You can learn more about Ross's company by visiting crowdspring.com and learn more about this show by visiting healthcarenowradio.com. And be sure to follow me on Twitter at Carol Flagg and station at HC Now Radio. Have an idea for this show? Connect with me on LinkedIn and send me a note. Until next time, I'm Carol Flagg, and I want to know, what's your tagline?